The Emir of Qatar hands over power to his son. Some are seeing this as a positive move toward reform in light of the popular regional uprisings, and others see it as an unelected ruler giving powers to his own son to continue a hereditary system that goes against all that the regional uprisings are about. On this debate, we ask about democracy in Qatar and what this power transfer means in terms of domestic and foreign policy. First, a report.
Qatari Emir Sheikh Hamad bin Khalifa Al Thani has handed over power to his son, Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad.
Today I address you to announce that I hand over power to Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, with full confidence that he is qualified for the responsibility.
The 33-year-old Sheikh Tamim is the ruler's fourth son. He's been groomed for the position since 2003 when his elder brother stepped aside. He was trained at Britain's Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst, and is currently the deputy commander of the Qatari Armed Forces. The transition of power in Qatar has never involved the participation of the people. The tiny oil-rich Persian Gulf state has been ruled as an absolute and hereditary emirate by the Al Thani family since the mid-19th century. Sheikh Hamad came to power in a coup in 1995, taking advantage of his father's absence on a trip to Europe. The change of ruler in Qatar has exposed the West's double standard towards democracy once again. The hereditary succession of Sheikh Tamim is supported strongly by Western countries, particularly Qatar's close military ally, the United States. Qatar hosts the largest American military base in the region. The Al Udeid Air Base, which is located in the west of the capital Doha, houses U.S. personnel and assets.
It's not a domestic decision, it's behind Qatar, and the Americans are behind this decision. No one can deny the influence of United States and Qatar. No one can deny the importance of Qatar for the United States.
Considering its undemocratic system of power transition, it is quite ironic that Doha continues to intervene in the internal affairs of regional countries such as Syria. Qatar is showering money and arms on anti-Damascus militants. Western media reports say Qatar and Saudi Arabia are even paying salaries to insurgents fighting against the government of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. During the so-called Friends of Syria meeting in Doha, Qatari Prime Minister Sheikh Hamad bin Jassim Al Thani said arming the insurgents is the only way to establish peace in Syria. Lebanon's Al-Akhbar Daily has recently revealed that chemical weapons used against civilians in Syria in March were delivered to insurgents by two Qatari officers. The newspaper said the toxic materials, including the nerve gas sarin, were transported through Turkey and later used in Khan al-Asal district of Syrian city of Aleppo, killing at least 25 civilians. Emir Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani will now have to handle tensions within the ruling family and other powerful clans over his father's alignment with U.S. foreign policies. Analysts, however, believe power transition in Qatar will not change the Arab state's foreign policies on regional and international levels.
The new Emir was British trained. America and the West feel he's a safe pair of hands here. And therefore, I don't see any change in Qatar's policy. It would continue its quite aggressive foreign policy in relation to the Arab world, in relation to Iran and elsewhere.
You're watching The Debate. Let me introduce our guests for you, political commentator Mr. Sukant Chandon in London and Middle East affairs expert Mr. Jahad Murakada in Beirut. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being on another edition of The Debate. I'll start my first question with our guest in London, Mr. Chandon. First of all, of course, the question of why this abdication did actually take place. A lot of the media are seeing this as a major first-time move by an Arab ruler that could signal actually a positive move toward change. Do you agree with that?
Good evening, sister, and to all your viewers. There's nothing particularly positive about this move. I mean, it's a laughable situation where Qatar... When we talk about Qatar, I think we also have to talk about the most effective propaganda tool of the Qatari regime, which is their news channel Al Jazeera and the English Al Jazeera International. That it's laughable that this regime has been the vanguard, the leading state in the region which has been talking its hypocritical phrases of democracy and human rights and fighting tyranny, when really the actual, the historical tyrannical and the qualitative tyrannical regimes who are basically in the pockets of the West, although the Qatar-British relationship is quite interesting and I'll comment on that later, that these regimes are the champions of the so-called Arab Spring, nay, Arab Sting, and you have a hereditary monarchy here. And none of these monarchical regimes, who were historically put into place, actually, by the British, have been touched by the uprisings. Actually, they've been protected by their patrons in the West, and they've knocked out historical enemies, actually, of these regimes, which was Tunisia. However problematic these regimes were, and they were, i.e. Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, and now they're attempting the same with Syria. So there's nothing very positive in this. I mean, people will probably know of someone who wrote a poem criticizing the monarchy in Qatar, who got a life sentence, a life jail sentence, which was reduced to 15 years. So wonderful is the setup in Qatar.
Well, so there's nothing positive, it's the same old. Because let's just bring in the opinion of Mr. Murakada in here as well, and before we continue that discussion. Mr. Murakada, a lot of the media are now saying that the transition right now in Qatar appears to be a direct response to the Arab Spring demands for reforms and its emphasis on giving a stronger political voice to the region's youth. Now, they're even expecting the long-serving Prime Minister, for instance, and the others to be replaced now that a new Emir, Sheikh Tamim, is going to be in place. Is that how you see it as well?
The move of the of Sheikh Hamad is a very intelligent move, in my opinion, because it has shown the way to other monarchies in the area that there is a way to change, there is a way to improve, there is a way to be more modernist. And this is the name of the game of Qatar for the last 15 years under Sheikh Hamad, which is to project an image of a modern country which is trying to be within the confines of the society of Qatar or the societies of the Gulf. Because don't forget, democracy can be analyzed under different views all over the world. Democracy in France is something, in the UK it's something. In France, people elect the president. In the UK, they elect the party, and the head of the party becomes the prime minister. In Iran, for example, not everybody can be a candidate for president.
So you
president.
Think that the democracy
in Qatar,
actually
so
does
each
exist?
Each society has its own way of dealing with its own
political system. You think democracy
political
exists then in
system.
Qatar?
I'm sorry?
Do you think that democracy...
I didn't say it is democracy. I said is... It's an open way.
Well, I'm asking your opinion. Do you think that there is any form of democracy?
It is showing the way towards more openness and more modernist approach to the political system.
Okay. Well, before we continue with that, let's just take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page by our viewers. A lot of course, views expressed right now throughout this discussion that we're having about what this means. Let's see what our viewers have been thinking.
Just pure monarchy, American brand. No reaction will be expected from the US and UK apart from hypocrisy, which is another name for democracy. They cry for democracy for others, and for them, democracy is not in their dictionary. Puppets of America and Israel. Himself power grabber trying to teach lessons of democracy in Syria.
Those were some of the comments posted on our Facebook page. I'll just quickly go back to Beirut, Mr. Murakada. I'd like to get your opinion on this before we go to Mr. Chandan. Mr. Murakada, are you saying then that despite the fact that we can't say the system in Qatar is democratic, it is actually a king or a ruler, an emir who has absolute power, that however this should be seen as a positive step? Is that your opinion?
Yes, of course. All I said is that the political system in Qatar is adequate for the society of Qatar, while as the same political system cannot be imported, say, to Lebanon or other countries. It is adequate for the societies of the Gulf. Now, the day the societies of the Gulf want to change, change will happen. In the meantime, trying to import models of democracy from, say, the UK or elsewhere,
yes,
and try to impose them on societies who live totally differently and who have different ideas, you should only see the people today who went to congratulate Sheikh Tamim. It is their system. It is, yes, their way of living. It is their approach. I know there are other Qataris who prefer something else, but the majority of the Qatari population, it's their society. Leave them to deal with it the way they want.
Okay. So, Mr. Chandon, would you also agree with the opinion expressed there that this is adequate for the people in Qatar and we shouldn't try to impose any style of democracy on the country?
Sister, no one argued for imposing anything on Qatar. We are just reflecting on the nature of the regime itself. Now, our colleague is talking about the people who live in Qatar. Well, conveniently, we forget the majority of the people who live in Qatar who are not Qataris, who are actually ostensibly the slave labor upon which the wealth of Qatar is based. That is the hundreds of thousands of people, mostly from South and Southeast Asia. Give them a citizenship, naturalize their status in Qatar, let them have a say in what the nature of the regime should be, and then we can discuss about anything in terms of positive trajectory of this silly little rotten regime,
which is
well, of course, for you it's a joke, but for people who believe in humanity, it's a very serious issue that these people have no rights whatsoever. They're treated like dirt, and those who believe in humanity, who believe in anything in terms of decency of treating other human beings, would argue that these people should have their rights. But this is the absolute nature of these absolutely decadent regimes that should be
in the museum
yes,
many decades ago. And I would like to quote the wife of the Emir of Qatar, who around 5 years ago in an interview, I think on Al Jazeera International Channel, was asked who her favorite historical figure was. And she said, it's no other than Jamal Abdel Nasser. Well, that's a very strange thing for that woman to say, because it's exactly her regime which is playing the historical role against the people who are continuing the legacy of Jamal Abdel Nasser, which was Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, and today it's the Ba'athist government in Syria.
Okay.
So all we can see is rank hypocrisy, profound hypocrisy throughout this whole issue.
Okay, let's allow Mr. Murakada to give his response here. Go ahead, Mr. Murakada.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Yeah, I think you were about to give a response there to what Mr. Chandon was saying about how people in Qatar feel about this. Yes.
Yes, I mean, the foreign workers in Qatar, and I myself was a foreign worker in another Gulf country, okay, are treated absolutely normally. Of course, we don't have rights like the locals have, okay, because that's the way they deal with it in these countries. But I mean, our rights were never like taken away from us. In Qatar, the only problem you
have
in Qatar
is that
you need an exit visa to leave Qatar. Otherwise, to say that all the people who are working in Qatar and who are foreigners should be given the citizenship of Qatar, I think this is an absolute joke.
Okay,
you don't
I'll
ask
stop,
these people.
I'll stop you both here if I may.
I was working in the UK and I was a foreigner.
Yeah,
they don't ask me as a foreigner to give my opinion to change the regime in the UK.
Okay. Now,
I mean,
Mr. Murakada, if I can stop you there, if I may. We have got a comment on our Facebook page. I think it's proper to bring it up here because apparently it's coming from one of our viewers who is living in Qatar and is a Qatari himself. We'll take a look at that comment and we'll look at his opinion and we'll be back.
Just a hereditary and plutocratic monarchy. And even if you had elections, anyway, the citizen status in there is in the hands of a few people. Personally, I'm just worried simply because, in addition to financing the most dark movements, he's appropriating the resources of my country, monopolizing the leading sectors, and penalizing the internal development. But my people acclaim him blindly.
So one comment there by a viewer who is basically against the situation right now, democratically speaking, in Qatar. So, Mr. Murakado, what do you think about comments like these that we just heard? That actually, these comments say that even the constitution in itself in Qatar is not democratic. We've got, of course, articles that I will refer to in the course of the program that clearly specify that this is not anything to do with democracy. It actually is a despotic regime.
As I said earlier, I do not think that democracy is an appropriate system for Qatar. What is appropriate for Qatar is the adequate system that the people want.
But now, what about the issue of equal rights, Mr. Murakado?
Of course. I'm sorry, human rights?
What about the issue of equal rights? If we just root out democracy here, you say, but what if people are asking for equal rights? How can that be attained? I mean, it's good to have an emir or a king or whatever, but shouldn't there be equal rights at the same time?
I trust, of all the rulers of the Gulf, I trust Sheikh Hamad and now his son, Sheikh Tamim, to move forward with more modernization of the society. And Sheikh Mouza, his wife, has done a lot both on the local and international level, fighting for women's rights and so on. So I really believe that you cannot. It's very funny, you know. People criticize all over the world, but you cannot change things from one day to the next. A country moves with the society. The
yes.
political system moves with the society, and it moves very slowly. You cannot it doesn't just change from one day to the next just because you want it to, and all of a sudden you have all sorts of laws that are similar to laws you have in the UK or France. Qatar is not the UK, and it's not France.
Okay.
So things move slowly according to society.
Okay, Mr. Chandano, I guess they're suggesting that we shouldn't be expecting too much from a country like Qatar, but seeing this as at least a baby step forward.
No one is expecting too much from Qatar because I actually agree with the guest in a sense that it's a totally defunct state that has no clue about equality or human rights whatsoever. So that's the nature of the regime, and that's what it is. Also, I'm not arguing that things should be changed overnight, but also I'm not arguing that people from the outside should dictate to the Qataris what they should do internally. But then let's be consistent in that line, and let's then demand and put as priority strategical demands in relation to Qatar that let's get the US bases out of Qatar. Let's
yes.
get CENTCOM, which is the biggest command center of the US military, out of Qatar. Then let the Qataris decide. Let's get the three United States military bases, which have been bombing the people of the region and Muslims and Christians, etc., in Iraq and elsewhere. Let's
but if
get
the
them
Qataris
out
are
of
happy.
Qatar. And then, well, if the Qataris are happy, then this shows how profound and deep going their slave mentality is, as it's always been. Because you cannot purport to be spreading, the Sheikh who's spreading women's rights and this is a baby step in the right direction, when you have the biggest purveyors of violence in the world, to quote Dr. Martin Luther King, which is still the situation today, the United States
this
military,
is your opinion,
which is nothing,
but that opinion
nothing,
is different.
But this is nothing. It's not opinion, it's a fact, sir. This is the problem that you cannot quite grapple with the facts and the problematics, that you are whitewashing.
Are you trying to tell me that
nobody's
allowed to like the Americans? I love the Americans.
Nobody's
I think they are the best thing that happened to the world. You don't like the Americans. That's your opinion.
Enough.
I have a different opinion.
So if I have an American base, I should throw
it out of the country?
It's not a question whether you like the Americans or I like the Americans.
Okay.
The fact is the people of the world have been suffering from American domination, millions upon millions upon
no
millions.
No way.
That is your opinion.
It is not true.
Okay.
It is not true.
Mr. Murakado,
I think the people of the world love the Americans. The Americans have liberated Iraq from Saddam Hussein.
Okay, Mr. Murakado,
ask the Shia in Iraq if they like the Americans
if you would
or they
allow
don't like
me,
the Americans.
Because we are,
were they happier under Saddam Hussein?
Okay, we are short of time. I'd just like to put the next
the
issue.
World.
Okay, Mr. Murakada, a lot of analysts have been saying, actually, that what's happened in Qatar right now, the power transition, should also be seen in a sense that it could be another coup, so to speak, albeit a hidden coup. They say that maybe the Emir in Qatar did this under U.S. pressure, especially concerning the way that it's been dealing with the situation in Syria. They say in their observation that the U.S. actually wanted the Emir to go after the Qusair battle in Syria that worked against the insurgents because they saw the Emir incapable of safeguarding America's interests, and this is happening under U.S. pressure. Do you see a role by the United States here?
Frankly, I do not understand the question. I mean, are you trying to say that if the son of the Emir, Sheikh Tamim, came to power, it is going to change the way Qatar is dealing with the opposition in Syria?
Well, basically, the observers that have been speaking to us, they've been saying that no, Tamim is going to come, but he's going to create a more acceptable Qatar that is going to be more acceptable in the negotiating table, that the United States is basically choosing how Qatar is going to look like in terms of foreign policy.
In fact, you are trying to say something a little bit different here. You are trying to talk about the difference of opinion between Saudi Arabia and Qatar with regards to the Syrian opposition and the fact that the Qatar has been supporting the Muslim Brotherhood while Saudi Arabia has been supporting other groups like al-Nusra and so on. And you are trying to tell me that the change in regime in Qatar is related to the fact that maybe Sheikh Tamim will be closer to the Saudi view and the Saudis and the Qataris will be more united in support of the opposition instead of fighting different battles, so to speak. Is this what you're trying to say?
Well, this could be an aspect of this, but do you see this anyhow? Do you think this could be the case? Do you think that what's happening in Qatar could have a foreign, could be as a result of foreign influences?
One must not forget that Sheikh Tamim has been dealing with a number of foreign files in Qatar for a number of years already. So he is fully aware of everything that is happening, and I do not think that there will be a major change in policy overall. There could be arrangements here and there, whatever, but the major line of the Qatari government is going to stay the same, which is projecting soft power all over the world through Al Jazeera, football, and so on. And Sheikh Tamim has been exactly in charge of Qatar Investment Authority,
yes.
Al Jazeera, and the World Cup, the Football World Cup, and the acquisition of the club Paris Saint-Germain. So therefore, he is the man who would put a more international face on Qatar.
Okay, so we are quickly running out of time. The last comments, Mr. Chandan, in less than a minute, if you can tell us what you think about this issue that was raised, or whether there are some foreign influences in what's happened in Qatar.
I think the only way I would agree with our other guest that this is definitely a change of window dressing to try and manipulate the regime into something more acceptable, a younger face in relation to Al Jazeera. But I think all this points to the fact that how dangerous it is when the policies and strategy of empire and NATO is delivered quite effectively, more effectively through black and brown skin, in this case through Qataris and the Al Jazeera channel, than it's done by the CNN and BBC and the West itself. So this really, I think, is the central thing I would like to kind of gear our viewers' minds to, that how dangerous is it that when our people are actually promoting the strategical aims of our collective enemies?
Mr. Sukant Chandan, political commentator with us there in London, thank you very much. A big thank you to our guest in Beirut as well, Mr. Jihad Murakada. He's a Middle East affairs expert. That's all the time we have for this edition of The Debate. Thank you, everyone, for staying with us. Do stay tuned. Of course, news coming up next.